You're listening to rudolfsteineraudio.com. This is a collection of essays by Rudolf Steiner that were introductions to Goethe's scientific writings, entitled Nature's Open Secrets. This is chapter 13, entitled Goethe's Fundamental Geological Principle. People often look for Goethe where he cannot be found at all. This has been especially true in evaluations of Goethe's geological research. Here, even more than anywhere else, it would be necessary to allow everything he wrote, in particular, to recede and let his intentions come to the fore. He must be assessed according to his own dictum, quote, when looking at human works as well as those of nature, it is the intentions that deserve our special attention, close quote from Verses in Prose. And, quote, the spirit out of which we work is the highest, close quote from Wilhelm Meister's Apprenticeship. What is worthy of emulation is not what he achieved so much as how he worked to accomplish it, that is, his method and not his specific theories. Goethe's specific achievements depended on the scientific instruments of his time and are now outdated. Goethe's method arose from his greatness of spirit and remains valid even though scientific instruments have been perfected in the meantime and experience has been broadened. Goethe was led to geology through his involvement with the Ilmenau mines, which had become an aspect of his official duties. Ilmenau, I'm going to pronounce it that way, it's I-L-M-E-N-A-U, Ilmenau. When Duke Carl August came to power, he earnestly devoted himself to the long-neglected mine. First, experts were to establish the reasons for its decline, after which everything was to be done to get it running again. Goethe, as assistant to Carl August, energetically began the work, which often took him into the Ilmenau mine to gather information himself. After May 1776, he could often be found there. Amid these practical concerns, he also felt a scientific need to better understand the natural laws pertaining to what he was able to observe there. The comprehensive view of nature that was shaping itself with increasing clarity in his mind forced him to find his own explanations for what he saw spread out before him, (see his essay, Nature). From the very beginning, we notice a peculiarity of Goethe's nature. His concern is different from that of many researchers. Others are most interested in knowing the particulars and are interested in an edifice of ideas, a system, only to the extent that it helps them observe the particular. To Goethe, however, the particular is merely a point through which he moved toward an all-embracing concept of existence. In his essay, Nature, we read, quote, she, nature, lives in many children, and the mother, where is she? Close quote. And we find in his Faust this same striving to understand not only the directly existent, but its deeper foundations. For example, when Faust speaks of his longing to, quote, behold all seeds, all active power, close quote. What he observes on the earth's surface and underground is thus one more means to penetrate the mystery of the world's formation. All his research is animated by what he describes to Duchess Louise in a letter of December 28, 1789, quote, nature's works are always like words freshly spoken by God, close quote. Sensory experience becomes for him the script in which he can read the word of creation. Goethe writes in this vein to Frau von Stein on August 22, 1784, quote, the great and beautiful script is always legible and becomes undecipherable only when people try to transfer their petty notions and limitations to infinite beings, close quote. We find the same tendency expressed in Wilhelm Meister, quote, would you mind if I were to treat these cracks and crevices as letters that I must decipher? If I were to make them into words and learn to read them, close quote. Thus, beginning in the late 1770s, we see the poet ceaselessly working to decipher this script. He strove to develop a view that enabled him to see the necessary inner connections between the separate things he observed. His method was, quote, to develop and unfold, not to assemble and order, close quote. To him it was not enough to see granite, porphyry, and so on, and to arrange them according to outer characteristics. He was looking for the law underlying all rock formation, which he would only need to call before his mind to understand how granite, for example, formed here or porphyry there. After first making distinctions, he looked for the unifying aspect. On June 12, 1784, he wrote to Frau von Stein, quote, "The simple thread that I have spun for myself leads me nicely through all these underground labyrinths, and it gives me an overview even where there is confusion." Close quote. He looked for the common principle that gives birth to one kind of rock here and that kind there, according to the various conditions under which it manifests. He considered nothing in his experience as final. The only unchanging element is the principle that underlies everything. Consequently, he was always preoccupied with finding the transitions from one kind of rock to another. Instead, because it is much easier to recognize the intention or generative tendency in those transitions than in the distinctively formed products, where nature reveals only one specific side of her being, quote, and occasionally comes to a dead end, close quote. It is a mistake to think that we prove Goethe wrong by pointing out that contemporary geology knows nothing of such transitions between types of rock. Goethe never claimed that granite actually changed into something else. Once it becomes granite, it is a finished, completed product, and no longer has the inner generative force to become something else. But Goethe was looking for something that geology lacks today, the idea or principle that forms granite before it becomes granite. And this is the same idea that underlies all formations. When Goethe speaks of a transition from one rock to another, he does not mean an actual transformation, but the development of the objective idea that expresses itself in various ways, at one time assuming this form and becoming granite, then expressing another potentiality and becoming slate, and so on. Goethe's view is concrete idealism, not some wild theory of metamorphosis. However, it is only in the earth as a whole that this principle of rock formation fully expresses all that lies within it. Thus, the main thing for Goethe is the earth's formation, in which each particular must find its place. He is interested in how each rock formation finds its place within the earth as a whole. He is interested in the particular only as a part of a whole. Ultimately, the geological system of mineralogy that seems right to Goethe imitates the processes of the earth. It shows why things come about in one particular place or another. The decisive factors for him are where and how a certain rock formation is formed. Although he otherwise greatly respected Werner's work, Goethe reproached him for arranging minerals according to accidental external characteristics rather than according to their occurrences, which tells us how they came about. Footnote: Abraham Gottlob Werner, 1750-1817, geologist and mineralogist known for arranging and systematically classifying minerals. Editor. End of footnote. The perfect system is not made by the scientist, but by nature herself. We must remember that Goethe saw the whole of nature as one grand, harmonious kingdom. He claimed that all things in nature are animated by one single tendency. According to him, if things are similar, it must be because they obey the same laws. He was unable to accept that factors other than inorganic forces are at work in geological phenomena, because they are nothing but inorganic in nature. Goethe's first act in relation to geology was to extend the activity of inorganic laws to that of science, Goethe's first act in relation to geology was to extend the activity of inorganic laws to that science. This was the principle that helped him understand the mountains of Bohemia and the phenomena observed at the Serapis Temple in Pozzuoli. He was trying to introduce principles into the dead crust of the earth by thinking of it as having arisen according to the same laws we see at work in other physical phenomena. Goethe was inwardly repelled by the geological theories of James Hutton, 1726 to 1797, and Elie de Beaumont, 1798 to 1874. What could he make of those explanations he considered to be in violation of all natural order? It has become banal to say that Goethe's peaceful nature contradicts such theories as that of the rising and sinking of the earth's crust. No, it contradicted his sense of a unified law of nature. He was unable to fit them into a view that corresponds with nature. Through this sense, he had already, 1782, arrived at a view that was not accepted by professional geologists until several decades later, that fossilized animals and plants must have a relationship with the stones in which they are embedded. Voltaire still spoke of them as nature's, quote, playful productions, close quote, because he lacked a concept of the consistency of nature's lawfulness. According to Goethe, something found in a particular place is understandable only when we can find a simple, natural connection with its environment. The same principle also led Goethe to the fruitful idea of an ice age, parenthesis, quote, from geological problems and attempts to resolve them, end of parenthesis, I think that's the title. As he looked for a simple natural explanation for the masses of granite distributed over large areas, he felt he had to reject the explanation that they had been hurled there by a tumultuous uplift of distant mountains, because it explained a natural fact as resulting from an exception to, indeed, the abandonment of existing known laws of nature. Instead, he assumed that all of northern Germany had at one point been covered by a body of water 1,000 feet deep, that much of it was frozen, and that blocks of granite were left behind as the ice melted. This explanation was based on familiar laws that we can experience for ourselves. This recognition of the consistent working of natural laws is Goethe's contribution to geology. How he explained the Kammerberg and whether he was right about the Carlsbad mineral springs is irrelevant. Quote, I am not trying to impose opinions, but offering a method as a tool that anyone can use as he chooses. Close quote from Goethe to Hegel, October 7th, 1820. That is the end of chapter 13.